Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 6. We're starting a new chapter. Purusha Shukta confirmed, text number 1. Ramo Vacha. Vacham Vanir Mukham Kshetram. Sandasam Saptadatavah. Havya Kavya Matananam. Jiva Sarva Rasasyacha. Brahmavacha. Lord Brahma said. Vacham. Of the voice. Vane. Of fire. Mukham, the mouth. Kshetram, the generating center. Chandasam, of the Vedic hymns, such as Gayatri. Shapta, seven. Dhatava, skin and other, skin and six other layers. Havyakavya, offerings for the demigods and the forefathers. Amrita, food for human beings. Ananam, of all sorts of foodstuffs. Jiva, the tongue. Sarva, all. Rasasya, of all delicacies. Cha, also. It looks like we have a lot of people coming today. Maybe everybody can move up some because they're running out of space back there. So translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada ki. Lord Brahma said, the mouth of the Virat Purusha, the universal form of the Lord, is the generating center of the voice. And the controlling deity is fire. His skin and six other layers are the generating centers for the Vedic hymns. And his tongue is the productive center of different foodstuffs and delicacies for offering to the demigods, the forefathers, and the general mass of people. Purport. The opulences of the universal form of the Lord are described herein. It is said that his mouth is the generating center of all kinds of voices, and its controlling deity is the fire demigod. And his skin and other six layers of bodily construction are the representative generating centers of seven kinds of Vedic hymns, like the Gayatri. Gayatri is the beginning of all Vedic mantras, and it is explained in the first volume, the Srimad Bhagavatam. Since the generating centers are the different parts of the universal form of the Lord, and since the form of the Lord is transcendental to the material creation, it is to be understood that the voice, the tongue, the skin, etc., suggest that the Lord in his transcendental form is not without them. The material voice, or the energy of taking in foodstuffs, is generated originally from the Lord. Such actions are but perverted reflections of the original reservoirs. The transcendental situation is not without spiritual variegatedness. In the spiritual world, all the perverted forms of material variegatedness are fully represented in their original spiritual identity. The only difference is that material activities are contaminated by the three modes of material nature, whereas the potencies in the spiritual world are all pure because they are engaged in the unalloyed, transcendental, loving service of the Lord. In the spiritual world, the Lord is the sublime enjoyer of everything. And the living entities there are all engaged in his transcendental loving service without any contamination. of the modes of material nature. The activities in the spiritual world are without any of the inebrieties of the material world, but there is no question of impersonal voidness on the spiritual platform, as suggested by the impersonalist. Devotional service is defined in the Narada Pancharatra as follows. Sarva padivanir mugdan tatpratnena nirmalam hrishikena hrishikesa sevanam bhakti uchyate. Originally, since all the senses are produced of the Lord's reservoir of senses, the sensual activities of the material world are to be purified by the process of devotional service, and thus the perfection of life can be attained simply by purifying the present position of our material activities. And the purifying process begins from the state of being liberated from the conception of different designations. Every living entity is engaged in some sort of service, either for the self, or for the family, or for the society, country, etc. But, unfortunately, all such services are rendered due to material attachment. The attachments of the material affinity may be simply changed to the service of the Lord, and thus the treatment of being freed from material attachment begins automatically. The process of liberation is therefore easier through devotional service than any other method. For in the Bhagavad Gita 12:5, it is said that one is subjected to various kinds of tribulations if one is impersonally attached. Kleso dikaritas teyasam avyaktasyakta chetasam. Om Jnanatamanandasya Giranjana Salakaya Chakshram Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukham Krotavacha Lang Pungun Lang Hayate Grim Yet Kripata Raham Vande Shigurum Dinataranam Vancha Kapa Tuvyascha Kripa Sindhub Devacha Patitanam Pavanevya Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaur Bhakti Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. This verse is explaining that it's very important that we engage in devotional service. As Prabhupada mentions here in the purport, we have to serve someone. So the best person that we can serve is Krishna. Because by serving Krishna, we get purified. Sarva padi vanir mukdang tat prat hena nirmam risikena risikesa sevanam bhakti ushite. By rendering service to Krishna, two side effects take place. One is that our senses become purified. Now our senses are contaminated. Therefore, we're trying to get some type of pleasure through material sense gratification. But Prabhupada mentions in one purport that there is some little pleasure in sense gratification. But this sense gratification, this so-called pleasure that one derives from sense gratification, is the ultimate enemy of the living entity. Powerful statement there. Everyone's trying to get some material enjoyment, right, in the material world. But this is the ultimate enemy of the living entity. Why? Because this is taking one further away from devotional service. You think there's some pleasure there. And therefore they try to get more and more. And that dries up and they try to get more. But they just get further and further and further away from the source of real pleasure, which is Krishna. Right? So that's why it's the greatest enemy of the living entity. So we should understand that we'll attain real happiness, our senses will be satisfied simply by engaging in devotional service. And Prabhupada mentions in another place, in a purport, he says that all the senses can be completely purified simply by the hearing process. And therefore we hear of devotees of the Lord who just by hearing the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, they go into ecstasy just by hearing. So many examples of this. There was one in pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srivas Thakur, he was walking down the street and there was a Srimad Bhagavatam class taking place just right there in one temple. So he went and he was listening. And from hearing the Bhagavatam, he went into complete ecstasy. He started rolling on the ground, tears from his eyes, his hairs were standing on end. Complete ecstasy by hearing the words of the Bhagavatam. Unfortunately, the people there that were in the class, they couldn't appreciate that. Nor did the person who was speaking the Bhagavatam class appreciate it. So he told them, take this person out. You know, took him away. I think his name was Damod. What was his name? Devananda Pandit, yes. So they couldn't appreciate this ecstasy of this devotee. But Lord Chaitanya, he's omniscient. And then when he saw this Devananda Pandit, he chastised him. He said, you do not know Bhagavatam because you offended a great devotee that appreciated the words of the Bhagavatam. But the Bhagavatam is so powerful. Idam Bhagavatam Nama Pranam Brahma Samhitam. That this Srimad Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of God. And it's meant for the ultimate good of all living entities. It's all blissful. It's all perfect. And this is why this is the first book that Srila Prabhupada translated. And when he came to the West, he brought 600 volumes of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And he was distributing them. Because he understood the importance of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam main focus is to help us understand this reality that it's by devotional service to Krishna that the soul will be satisfied, that the senses will be purified. And the other result of devotional service, actually there's many, but in this verse it's also said that one becomes free of all designations. This is a big contamination in the material world that we're bewildered by these designations. I'm American, or I'm Indian, or I'm the president, I'm the prime minister, I'm a dog, I'm a cat. Yeah. This is all designation. And if we don't give up these designations, if we don't get purified, then we don't know what our future will be. Like Prabhupada mentions in another place, he says, the greatest fear of a devotee is to again enter into the animal species of life. The greatest fear. Because it's a horrible existence. Because what are the animals thinking? Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. I'll tell you an amazing incident that took place when I was in Jagannath Puri many, many years ago. I was in one room. I rented one room. And a big pack of dogs, maybe about 10 dogs, was in the back there. And they were all fighting, you know, growling and fighting. And it's pretty intense. You know? And the end of all the fighting, there was one dog that beat the other dogs. And there was another dog standing off to the side. And after this one dog defeated all the other dogs, he walked over to this one dog and he walked away with her. There was a fight for the she dog. And I was just like amazed. You know? And this is what goes on in the material world. You know, everybody, you know, the men are trying to capture some women, or also the women are trying to capture a man. So I was amazed. This seeing that, you know, fighting for sense gratification. Everybody is endeavoring to satisfy their senses, but there's no satisfaction. Just like there's one famous song, "I can't get no satisfaction." I don't know if you've heard that. It's a very famous song. Yeah. And all the kids were, "Yeah, I can't get no satisfaction." So in the material world, we can't get any satisfaction. It's a useless attempt. Because we're spirit, we're not matter. It's incompatible. Just like you try to put oil and water together, it's incompatible. It doesn't work. So you try to put matter and spirit together, it doesn't work. Incompatible. There's no arrangement that you can make that will allow you to achieve complete satisfaction in the material world. But if we engage our senses in the service of the master of the senses, Krishna, then we get purified. So we have to control the senses. We have to control the mind. Vacho vegam manasakrodha vegam. Jiva vegam urdhapastha vegam. Taitan vegam yovasatete dira sarvam avipam pativing sasyasya. That we have to control the urge to speak. It's like in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, "Anudvegam karang vatyam satyam priyam vitangcha." There's austerities of speech. So we should speak that which is pleasing to others. We should not speak in a way that will disturb others. Satyam, we should speak that which is truthful, which is beneficial. Always repeating the Vedas. But sometimes, just like sometimes we're preaching, and we might speak something that may not be very pleasing to the people. But it's the truth. And it's beneficial. So what to do? We should speak that which is pleasing and truthful. So we should always speak the truth. We can speak the truth in a palatable way. Not that we have to go straight out and strongly preach, fry people out. It's like Prabhupada said that when we're preaching, we should preach in a way that it attracts them to Krishna consciousness. Not that we preach in a way that it turns them away. Just like we have these four rules, these four regular principles. We should not come straight out strongly. No gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no intoxication. Scare people away. Yeah. I remember I was in Hawaii, I was at the temple, and at a Sunday feast, one devotee was speaking very strongly on these points, and people were getting up and walking away. So it's not the way to preach. There's so many attractive aspects of our philosophy that we can speak. And Prabhupada was the most expert. In 26 Second Avenue, he was preaching and so many youth were coming. For many months, so many youth were coming, and eventually there was an initiation ceremony. The first initiation ceremony. So after the initiation ceremony, the devotees that were initiated asked Prabhupada, "So are there any rules or regulations that we have to follow?" They practically didn't hear it. All those months, he was just giving all the wonderful positive aspects. And then are there any rules we have to follow, by the way? And he said, "Oh yeah, the four regular principles." Oh, okay. And now he had attracted them so much that the rules, these four rules, wasn't a big deal. But if we come right off like that, we're going to scare people away, because these are the pillars of Kali Yuga: gambling, intoxication, meat eating, illicit sex. And this is what the animals are meditating on also. And therefore Prabhupada said that the dogs, they're running down the street with their four paws, and the human being is driving down the street with their four wheels. But the mentality, same. same mentality. So we're trying to change the mentality to having the mentality of a devotee. Just like it's Prabhupada mentions here in the purport, that devotees in the spiritual world, why are they in the spiritual world? Because their only thought is how to please Krishna. This is a devotee. So we're trying to train our mind, train our intelligence, and train ourselves, the soul, to think of Krishna. Sometimes we blame the mind. My mind is such a rascal. Prabhupada was speaking about this once in a class, and he said, "Don't blame your mind. Your mind is coming from the soul. So this is coming from the soul. All this, these impurities are there in the soul, and it's just bubbling up into the mind, and you know, nonsense is coming out. So we had to pray for this purification of the soul, and automatically the mind will follow because there's a hierarchy. There's gross matter, right?" Then there's the senses, above the gross matter. Above the senses is the mind. Above the mind is the intelligence. Above the intelligence is the soul. Above the soul, super soul. So the soul is above the mind. The mind is just kind of, you know, taking dictation of the soul. So therefore this process is purification of the soul. And automatically, oh, by the way, if your cell phone goes off, you have to go out and sell a Bhagavad Gita. So that's one Bhagavad Gita right there. So, so please turn off your cell phones, unless you want to go distribute a Bhagavad Gita today. So there's a hierarchy there. And we're meant to take shelter of the super soul. And therefore, Krishna, he says in the Bhagavad Gita, Samang Pashang Isarvatra Samavasinam Isaram, that if we engage in the devotional service of Krishna, then automatically the mind is controlled and the super soul is reached. So this is what we want to do. We want to reach the super soul. We want to break through all this matter, all this gross matter, sense gratification, and take dictation from the super soul. But to do that, vacho vegam manasakrodha vegam, we have to control the mind, we have to control our speech, anger, the tongue, belly, and genitals. And if we're able to do that, then according to this verse, one can make disciples all over the world. To control the mind, control the senses, control the intelligence. And this is possible by the mercy of Krishna. So we have to take shelter of Krishna in a very sincere way. This is what Krishna is looking for. Sincerity of purpose. Prabhupada said this is the only necessity, is that we become sincere. And what does that mean, to be sincere? It means to follow what has been given to us. Yeah. Rising early in the morning, chanting japa, going to Mangalartik. And it's not that you could only go to Mangalartik if you're at the temple. No. Many of you have your homes, so you can have Mangalartik there also. You can have Bhagavatam class there also. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he did that with his home. It became a temple. And he said his home was transformed into Goloka Vrindavan. So your home can be transformed into Goloka Vrindavan. You have Krishna there. You have the deities there. Just devote yourself to the service of the deities and your home can be transformed into Goloka Vrindavan. Yeah. So this is the result of practicing. So going to Mangalartik, chanting our rounds, our 16 rounds, this is the key to the spiritual world. Kalir Doshanit He Rajan Asti Heka Mahadguna Kirtana Deva Krishna Mukta Sangha Paramaja. At this age of Kali is filled with so many faults. Wherever you look, there's so many faults. The government, They don't know how to lead the people. People in general. I was speaking about this to one student at a university, how this age of Kali, it's filled with many faults. So much cheating is going on. He said, yeah, I could understand that. I was very shocked. I was just reading in the newspaper. There's one psychiatrist who was treating one patient. And the patient had many different split personalities, about 20 different split personalities. So this patient happened to be very wealthy. So the psychiatrist decided to charge each of the different split personalities more money. Instead of charging one, you charge 20. So one of the split personalities in this person had enough intelligence to take this psychiatrist to court. And when the judge heard the case, he was shocked. He took away this psychiatrist's license and put him in jail for 2 years or something. There's so much cheating going on. This is one of the natures of the conditioned soul, tendency to cheat. Just like so many devotees, before they came to the Krishna consciousness movement, they were also being cheated by so many yogis. I was cheated by some rascal yogi. So many of us get cheated because we're a little naive when it comes to spiritual subject matters. But also in India, so many people get cheated. It's like this. So many bogus yogis and bogus gurus and so-called gods get cheated. So one devotee, when he met Prabhupada, and he heard Prabhupada speak and he read his books, he understood, here's someone that won't cheat me. So Prabhupada, so pure, he just wanted to give the message of Krishna. So we're very fortunate. Because practically everybody gets cheated in this world. So much cheating going on. But Prabhupada was pure, and therefore he just wanted to see everyone become happy. Sarvasukha bhavantu. This is the devotee's mentality. He wants to see everybody become happy. What a nice goal, huh? That's our mission. Our Krishna conscious mission is to try to see everybody happy in Krishna consciousness. There was one devotee, one Mataji, she was at one temple. And Prabhupada was visiting that temple at the time. And she had an amazing dream. And when she saw Prabhupada in the morning, she told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I had this amazing dream last night. I dreamt that everybody in the world was chanting Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada's eyes became very wide. He said, oh, very nice dream. And that is my desire. But another time he said, this won't happen. For four reasons. Anybody know what the reasons are? No gambling. No intoxication. No meat eating. No illicit sex. He said, this is why our society will always be small. Because people are very attached to these things. So we have to be attached to something. So what we're doing is we're trying to develop our attachment to Krishna. And then we can give these things up. This is a higher taste. Krishna is a higher taste. So much so that there's so many devotees that if you offer a hamburger to some devotees and say, I'll give you $1 billion if you eat this hamburger. I know many devotees. They'll just say, you keep your hamburger. You keep your $1 billion. No. Because they have the higher taste. They know that this would displease Krishna. And Krishna's not poor. He doesn't need money. Krishna is pleased with devotion. So a devotee would not do any sinful activity. No matter what is offered to him, he will not commit any sinful activity. So this is the nature of a devotee. Satisfied. Just like Krishna, he's satisfied. He's Atmaram, self-satisfied. A devotee doesn't need anything. He's completely satisfied in the service of Krishna. So nothing can get in his way of devotional service. But in this age, it's very difficult. Kali Yuga is a very difficult age. There was one pastime. When Vibhishan became disgusted with Ravana, he decided to leave Ravana and go to the side of Ram. But Vibhishan, he's a demon. He's the brother of Ravana. And Vibhishan also had some friends that decided, yeah, I'm with you, let's go. Let's go to Ram. There's a problem there. There are demons trying to go on the side of Ram. So many of the servants of Ram, they thought, no, don't trust him. He's a demon. He's going to come into our ranks and then he's going to defeat us. We can't allow this demon into our ranks. So it was a controversy. You know, some were saying yes and some were saying no because he appeared sincere. Because, you know, Vibhishan, he was always chastising Ravana, you know, don't do this, you know, you can't take another man's wife, and he was chastising in so many ways. You know. So it appeared like he was sincere. So it was a big controversy there in the camp of Ravana, of Ram. So then Ram turned to Hanuman. He said, Hanuman, you decide. Whatever you decide. Because Hanuman was such a dear servant of Ram. The best servant. So Hanuman said, let's accept him. Just by looking at his face, I can see that he's honest. But still there were some that were, no, can't do it. And then Vibhishan said, listen to me. All of you listen to me. If I am not loyal to Ram, if what I am saying is not true, then may I become a king in Kali Yuga. And as soon as he said that, he said, all right, he's telling the truth. All right, come on. Because nobody in their sane mind would want to be a king in Kali Yuga. Such a degraded age. And therefore it stated, Kala Kalir Balina Indriya Vairi Varga Shi Bhakti Marga Yakantaka Koti Buddha. That in the age of Kali, it's very, very difficult to control the senses. Any of you ever noticed that? Yeah, very difficult. The tongue, the senses, you know, very difficult. The mind. The mind is called the inner sense. It's also a sense, but it's inside. It's a subtle sense. And sometimes we think it's our, when something is said, we hear something, we think it's us, but it's actually just the mind, so we have to be careful. Very difficult to control the senses in the age of Kali. And in this age, the path of bhakti is spiked by millions of thorny obstacles. Many obstacles on this path. But Krishna says in the Gita, Machchita Sarva Durgani Matpashara Dushisashi Atacha Tongahan Karam Dashoshisi Vanamshisi. He says, if you become conscious of me, you'll cross over all the obstacles on your path to pure devotional service. If, however, you act out of false ego and you don't hear me, then you'll be lost. So it's a very simple process, actually. Just think of Krishna. Prabhupada once said that this process is so simple, you may miss it. Very simple process. Sometimes we make it complex. It's very simple for those who are not complicated, but if we're complicated, we can make it difficult for ourselves. Please, come in. Everybody come forward again. It's backed up again. It's really backed up. Come forward, please. So this is the key. And if we don't take shelter of Krishna, then according to this verse, then we're lost. Yeah. Any of you ever had the experience of being lost? Very uncomfortable experience. Yeah. I travel around the world, and sometimes I go in, or one time I went on a japa walk, and I'm usually very good with directions, you know, and like that. But there was one time, I had no idea where I was, so I had to. It's a very uncomfortable situation to be in. So I had to ask some people, and I found the temple. But yeah, to be lost, uncomfortable. So, Krishna has given us direction. These are instruction guides on how to go back home. Practically everybody in the material world, they're lost. Don't know what's going on. So Krishna has given us direction on how to go back home, how to go back to our father, to our real family. The families we have in this material world, this is illusory. This is temporary. You know, this life is just a moment. But in this short moment, just a second, we think this is my wife, this is my husband, this is my father, this is my grandfather, this is my children. Just a very, not just a, just like a moment, a second in our eternal existence. So we have many families here. You should all encourage one another to understand who our real family is. Krishna's our real father. And try to help each other become attached to Krishna. This is real family life. This is the real family life. Otherwise, if we don't take this seriously, although we've practiced Krishna consciousness now in this lifetime, even if we don't perfect life, then in our next life, we'll be born in a devotee family, or we'll have some opulence, right? But even then, you never know. Just like Advaita Acharya, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mahavishnu. But three of his sons deviated. Here's God. He has three sons that were not devotees. And Prabhupada, he had five children. None of them became a devotee. One became somewhat of a devotee. Prabhupada's a Shaktivesh avatar. They were born into his family, and one of the sons even sued ISKCON. He told the judge, there was a whole court case, he said, actually, my father, he wasn't a real devotee of Krishna. He was just doing this to make money. It was a business adventure. And the judge said, oh, come on, that's ridiculous. Everybody in this country knows that Prabhupada was the greatest saint. He was a great saint. So the judge was intelligent. You better think of something else. So this is his own son saying like that. Can you imagine? So it's not for sure that you take birth in a devotee family, that then you'll make it back to Godhead. No. We better take Krishna consciousness very seriously in this lifetime. And Prabhupada therefore he told one devotee, he said, when you rise in the morning, you should pray to Krishna. Please, Krishna, help me to take this Krishna consciousness very seriously. Because I may die today or I may die tomorrow. We don't know. So we have to take this very seriously, this human form of life. And we can go back. We can go back home, back to Godhead. And therefore, Krishna says, Vitaraga Bhaya Krodha Manmaya Mama Pashata Bhavo Jnana Tapasa Putman Bhava Magata. He says, being freed from attachment, fear and anger, many, many persons in the past have become purified by knowledge of me, and they've attained me. So we can attain Krishna. It's possible. And therefore, there's a nice story. I might have said this before, but we have a bigger crowd here. I'll tell you a very interesting, which will give you faith. It'll give you hope that you can do it. You want to hear it?
Yes.
Very interesting. A good friend of mine in Miami, Florida, he had a couple children and a wife, and they're all devotees. And the wife is very nice, very wonderful devotee. The husband, very wonderful devotee. They had deities in their home and chanting 16 rounds. Very nice, humble Vaishnavas. So unfortunately, at one point, the lady, she got cancer. And we all felt very bad about this. They come to the temple, they do so much service and donations and just... So we were going there to their house, and many of us devotees were going, we were chanting to encourage her, try to help her remember Krishna. So we would go there a few times in the week. And then there was one time when she was really looking like she was going to leave her body. So we stayed a little later. But it was getting very late, and we all had services to do at the temple, so we went back to the temple. So maybe a couple hours after we left, her husband was standing next to the bed. And she said to him, "Do you see him?" And he said, "Do I see who?" She said, "Krishna, he's standing right in front of me. And he's so beautiful. And he's calling me." And she said, "You're my husband. He's calling me. Should I go?" And he said, "Yeah, go, 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 go." And she closed her eyes. You see how chaste she was. First she had to ask her husband, "Krishna's calling. Should I go?" "Yeah, go, go." She closed her eyes. And just a short time later, she left her body, went back to Godhead. Haribo. So she wasn't living in the temple. She wasn't a brahmacharini. A very nice, devoted soul. So it's possible. We can go back to God. Just follow this process very strictly. Don't think that any material sense gratification will satisfy you. It's not going to happen. It's never happened. In the history of the whole material creation, it's never happened that anybody was fully satisfied in material sense gratification. But if we devote ourselves to Krishna, if we fully devote ourselves to Krishna, will be completely satisfied. It's never happened that anybody that has completely devoted themselves to Krishna has not been completely satisfied. Therefore, Krishna bhakti nishkama ateva shanta. So this is the goal, to become a devotee of Krishna. Then we'll be satisfied. Okay? Thank you very much. Is there any question or comment? Yes, Prabhu. Not yet. Maybe sometime, we'll see. Still brahmachari. Go ahead.
Where is the soul located in the body? Because medical science say that heart is the first organ when you're born. So the soul in the heart?
Yes, it's located in the heart. Yes. Yes, it's located in the region of the heart. And therefore the heart is considered to be the most important organ, right, of the body. Yes, Prabhu.
Prabhu, somebody else also asked the same question. How Prabhupada said if you are 70% pure, I can go to the spiritual world. So how do you know 70%?
Actually what happened was Prabhupada was giving class, and Prabhupada said, you have to surrender 100% to Krishna if you want to go back to Godhead. And devotees were like, oh, how is that possible? You know, they were like lamenting. And then Prabhupada said, okay, if you're surrendered 70%, you can go back to Godhead. And still the devotee's like, oh, how is it possible? And then Prabhupada said, all right, 50%, no lower. Well, how is it? You'll have to ask Prabhupada when you go back to the spiritual world. Save that one for Prabhupada and Krishna. Yeah, that's beyond me. Yes, Prabhu.
Prabhupada was saying that the duty of the parents is to make the children of Krishna conscious.
Yes. Better stay brahmachari. You avoid the whole trouble then. So that's something else to think about here. Prabhupada, Paramahamsa, Shaktivesh Avatar, even his children didn't become devotees, so that should give some impetus to stay brahmachari. It's very difficult. Kali Yuga is very difficult. It's not that Prabhupada didn't preach to his children. You know, he was giving so much preaching to his children and to his wife. But his wife would go upstairs and she would drink tea. She would take her children upstairs when Prabhupada would give preaching engagement. And she would take them up. You know, so a very awkward situation. So finally Prabhupada became so disgusted, he said to his wife, "Tea or me?" And she thought, "Ah, he's just joking." But she didn't give up the tea, and he left. Never saw her again. So household life is very difficult, whether it's in Satya Yuga or Treta Yuga or Dwarpa Yuga, but in Kali Yuga it's very difficult. But there's many nice families, there's many nice devotees. It's not to say that it's not possible. You know, I know many nice children that have come out of their parents raising them very nicely in Krishna consciousness. So it is possible. Don't be discouraged. It's possible. But the most important thing is your example. You can speak so much to your children about Krishna consciousness, but what they're looking at the most is your example. That's what sticks, isn't it? That's what sticks the most. Your action. Example is better than precept, right? So this is what they're looking at. Yes, Prabhu? Whether they're happy also. Yeah, right. Good point, yeah. So we have to be happily engaged in Krishna. Yes, Prabhu? Good point. Yeah. Good point. What's that? So that's a good point. We should try our best, but don't be too attached. Sometimes the children, you're trying so hard to make your children Krishna conscious, but they're just not taking it, and then they can drag you down. I've seen that also. So we have to be careful of that. Yes?
What can happen with parents is they lose faith in the process of Krishna consciousness. We have to be very careful about that. The whole process doesn't make my children become devotees. But there's the element of the individual, the choice of the individual, you know, that essential requirement that may not be there and not your fault.
Exactly, yes. So, there's a nice saying, try your best, hope for the best, Krishna will do the rest. So we try our best. Yes?
Your advice here, you know, a golfer said,
Always expect the worst and you'll never be disappointed.
Yes. Yes.
How do you find a role of Vibhishan? He was sometimes considered as a traitor for his own family as he joined Ram's.
So the question is why could they trust Vibhishan? Because he was a traitor to his own family. But he was a traitor to a demon, Ravana. So that's okay. To be a traitor to a demon, that's okay. He was going to Ram, and he proved himself to be true because he fought on the side of Ram, killing the army of Ravana. So he was a great devotee, actually. Amazing mixture there. Huh? You're such a great devotee, became the brother of Ravana, such a big demon. It's amazing. So you never know. Here's a devotee in the family of demons. So sometimes, just like Prabhupada's son, he was demoniac. He was trying to sue ISKCON. You can imagine how disturbed Prabhupada would be. He was a demon, causing disturbance to our society. We had to spend so much money in court to try to keep this person down from taking the assets of ISKCON. So you never know, who's going to take birth in your family. You never know. So, of course, we have a process, Garbhadhan Sanskar, right? Chant good rounds. 50 good rounds, very attentive good rounds. Yeah. And hope for the best. Right? Yes?
Would it be wrong for me to eat that $1 billion hamburger and then donate the money to ISKCON?
That would be wrong. Some people will say that also. Yes, because Krishna is displeased if you eat meat. Krishna's not poor. See, Krishna's not poor. He's the wealthiest. He's the most opulent. He doesn't need money. Things are going on very nicely in our society.
If I gave that money to you, could you not benefit, use it wisely for my being one man's repentance?
I would say, for your own sake, don't eat the hamburger. Because it's sinful. Krishna is not pleased. So we never encourage sinful activity. Krishna is not pleased, no matter what the adjustment is. We should always refrain from sinful activity, no matter what result we may get from it.
If the benefits outweigh me eating it, if you bought 100 more houses in South Melbourne and everyone could be closer to the temple, that's 500 more people much happier to my...
Well, we have this one temple, and how many people are coming? Not many. So it might be more of a burden, actually, to have another 100 houses. Yeah, Aniruddha Prabhu would like to be in charge of another 100 houses around here. What do you think, Aniruddha? I don't think so. So things are going on nicely by the mercy of Krishna. But what is most important is that we not engage in any sinful activity. This is displeasing to Krishna. Okay? Thank you. Yes?
Maharaj, when Vibhishan went to Ram's side and then the battle was started, then did Vibhishan fight with the demons?
He sure did. And he killed them. Did everybody hear the question? He's got a good voice. Yes, he was such a great devotee of Krishna, of Lord Ram, that he was even killing people who was on his side previously. Amazing, huh? That's the mercy of Ram. Ram is very merciful. Okay, maybe one more question, if there's one more. Yes, Prabhu. No. Prabhu.
So I was just thinking about the position of entertainment that Krishna say, is it a gift? Because we constantly misuse it. And as we can see, there are good things away from Krishna. So, there's been times in my life and my life where I think Krishna just take away my understanding because, you know, I always make the wrong choice.
It's a nice idea. But the thing is, if you don't have choice, then there can be no love. Because the whole premise of love is choosing. That you choose to reject that and accept that. Just like to give you an example, one of the pleasures, one of the psychological pleasures of a boy, a young boy, and a young girl, is that the boy is thinking that she could have chosen so many other boys, so many hundreds of boys, but she's chosen me. So that's a type of sense gratification, right? And she's also thinking that he could have chosen so many girls, but he's chosen me. So this is ego, false ego. So Krishna, he has a real ego. And he's thinking, that devotee, Prabhu, he could have chosen so many other things, but he's chosen me. So Krishna gives himself. The more we choose Krishna, the more Krishna comes closer to us. So we have to keep rejecting. So this independence is very good because this intensifies our love for Krishna as we go on. As we go on rejecting Maya again and again and again and again and again and again, and we keep on accepting Krishna again and again and again and again and again, then eventually Krishna says, all right, you've purchased me. You've rejected Maya so much. And you've accepted me so much. Okay, I'm yours now. So we have to keep on rejecting. But the independence is very important there. Because we're accepting again and again Krishna, again and again. And we're rejecting Maya again and again and again. So this is a test. There'll be many tests in our life. And the final exam is death. We completely reject material and accept Krishna. But actually, Prabhupada says that the last snare of Maya, what is the last snare of Maya? No. Who knows? Yes, you think that you're God. That's the last snare. So don't accept that at the end. Krishna's God. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.